we start waiting for people coming late.
And yeah.
I can say this because at this moment you cannot transfer because you don't have the microphone. So I can say whatever. Yeah. And you cannot reply. So.
Reply coming. That's okay. Voila. Okay, so.
Ready.
We can maybe get a head start. Have you been talking to Matthew about what you've been doing, or?
Little bit, but I'm not sure he knows everything. So basically, well, first we try to explain why this endless list rescoring from the slides to enhance the speech recognition
yeah.
on the meeting's data is not working.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's one thing. And so what we did with Alessandro is performing some statistical tests to see whatever if the words the appearance of the words during the meeting is independent of the appearances of the different slides.
Yeah.
So in the case if it is dependent, that would mean that certain words tend to appear during certain slides.
Yeah, which
and that there is a correlation
feeling.
And then there would be a reason like for believing that this will work.
Yeah. And the result was no.
The result was no.
But the question is if that result no because it's no, or is it also just because there's not really enough data to be sure about anything?
In my opinion, it is no because of the nature of the language. I mean, intuitively, of course, you tend to use more the words that are on the slide.
Sure.
But the mass of the words actually you use are words that are common. Just think that 50% of the words, on average, whatever corpus you take, are stop words.
Yeah,
articles,
okay.
etc. So in terms yeah. of recognition, 50% goes away.
Yeah.
Of the rest, remaining 50%, I mean, are all words that appear 1, 2, 3 times.
Yeah.
So in any case, even if actually they tend to be related or statistically related to a single slide, in any case, in terms of recognition, do not help at all.
It's not gonna. Yeah.
Very little. So that's the kind of thing. I mean, that's the kind of measure. The statistical independence is not on single words.
Yeah.
Overall.
Yeah, yeah.
Which basically means, in terms of recognition, that doesn't count.
This is a sort of a feeling that we had but hadn't shown. I think. I mean, from an application point of view, it might be interesting to make sure that your vocabulary contains all the words on the slides. But from a research perspective, it's not interesting.
You know, even if actually, I remember he has made some measure saying, okay, let's look at how many words I don't have in the dictionary and are in the slides.
There'd be very few.
It was 2%.
Yeah,
well, this is how the dictionary is calculated. It's calculated mm-hmm. such that
exactly.
if you don't have the word, it doesn't affect to
exactly.
a great degree the word error rate.
Exactly. So in some sense, it intuitively, it sounds very good, but in practical terms, in terms of recognition, here we have to be clear.
Yeah.
If you want to improve the recognition, that improves very slightly.
Yeah.
It is different if you want to have other tasks
where
the only words that actually play a role are those words.
Yeah.
In that case, even the slight improvements he gets at that point, they can make the difference.
But
does the recognition...
No. Well, this is, that's...
In some way, the statistical independence, I think it can be a good explanation to show why this happened.
Yeah.
Even if it is counterintuitive, but that's what happens.
Just quickly rewind.
Sorry about that, yeah.
We were talking that we did some experiments to see if the word during a meeting, the words appear independently of the slides, in the sense that if certain words tend to appear during certain slides, or no, and the answer is no.
Okay.
And so we did a statistical test for that, and I will add also that we did that on the words after filtering them from the removing the stop words.
Of course,
okay.
So it's not going to make any difference.
Because with the stop words, okay, there would be a reason for independence because there is such a huge mass of them, but even after removing them, it remains independent. And actually, so when I was doing the rescoring experiments, I was doing that on one meeting that I selected as being like the best looking one. It had the most slides. And now I did the same on the other meetings which were available. Where,
mm-hmm.
Well, it's only three meetings because, well, there are four of them which are from the test set,
yeah.
From the MU recognizer, but only three of them have slides. So it's total of three meetings. And for the others, the tendency, like, because, you know, when I was doing rescoring, I was taking into account for one given slide also the neighboring slides, and as I was increasing the number of slides which were affecting the utterance I was rescoring, the performance was improving
mm-hmm.
slightly, very very little, but
it's going very fast for me,
yeah.
Actually, that is the thing, actually. It's very fast. So the first thing is told me that you took the slides and you had a big dictionary and you were seeing what words are there inside the slides, right? What the way? First statement I could not understand. When you said
the first thing we were talking about is the experiment to see the if it's dependent or
yeah,
independent.
So could you please tell me a little bit more in
how
detail?
We did it?
Yeah.
So we used the Pearson key square.
No,
test.
Don't go there. I want the no. I want to understand what did you mean by that thing, like saying that I took a dictionary and then a word from the slide, and what you were looking for, I could not understand
clearly. Ah, okay.
Really, there.
It was to see if certain words have a tendency to appear.
Mm-hmm.
During if they are more likely to appear during certain slides.
Okay, but how do you, why do, what certain words, like how do you expect the certain words?
Be careful, it's not exactly like this, because for sure there are words that tend to be. So the point is, you want to verify whether you can improve the recognition rate,
yeah.
By using as an information the words that are contained in the slide. So basically the idea is that in the moment you are in the slide, some way your language change accordingly to the slide.
Exactly.
So the fact of having that information some way can help you to improve the recognition.
Exactly.
But actually it's not what happens.
Yeah.
And this does not happen for many reasons. First, for example, 50% of the words in any kind of text are stop words, so everywhere.
Yeah.
And the remaining appear so little that in any case cannot really improve that much. Most of the words we use, actually, whatever we talk about, are common words. So how to verify this? I mean, this is something that has been measured, etc., but still is a bit qualitative. To have a quantitative measure,
mm-hmm.
we simply did a measure of statistical independence between the words in general.
Mm-hmm.
So not some words, the words in general. Otherwise, you can see that if a word appears once, basically it is 100% related to one slide.
Yeah.
But you have to, if you want to consider in terms of recognition performance,
mm-hmm.
you have to make it overall. Yeah. What is important is not the word that appears once,
yeah.
It's the word that appears.
It appears in almost, if it appears in all the slides, it has a 100% correlation for me.
If there is one word that appears once,
yeah.
all over the meeting, it appears in correspondence of one slide, then
yeah.
of course it seems to be very related.
Yeah.
But very few words.
I'd like that.
They represent a very little part of the
mm-hmm.
Word mass. Mm?
Yeah.
So we simply used a very old test, statistical test, that basically measured the hypothesis that some way the probability of having one word
mm-hmm.
in correspondence of a certain slide
mm-hmm.
is simply the product of the probability of the word.
Okay, it's
for
independent
the probability
of each other. Okay.
That's it. So that's what we did.
Okay.
But it's in general the language and not certain words.
Certain words.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
certain words for sure have a strong dependency.
Yeah.
But they have a few.
Yeah.
Okay. Fine. Now I'm into the loop.
And the answer to that was no.
Mm-hmm.
And so when extending those experiments to the other meetings, while I was observing an improvement on the first meeting I was using So I was observing an improvement as I was increasing like the
context.
The context, yeah.
But this improvement is on the ASR or
on the on the recognition, yeah.
Okay.
So there was the improvement was also increasing as I was increasing the context.
Okay.
Well, on the other meetings, it's really fluctuating, and it looks more like well, what's the word for that? Statistical fluctuation.
Okay.
So
I mean, it's probably very dependent on the speaker as well.
Yeah.
Some people have a habit of just reading what they've got in their slides, and some people or quite purposely talk about different things so that they've sort of got multimodality of you know. But so I mean, I guess that's not a surprising result then.
It is not in terms, I mean, for me, for example, it was not in the sense that after working a little bit on language, you realize that this kind of thing do not help.
Yeah.
Simply because most of the words have nothing to do specifically with the subject. Most of the words we use, that's strange, but are simply necessary to build the sentence.
Yeah.
There are very few content words.
Yeah.
But it is true that intuitively, as we are driven in our attention, I mean, in our understanding, we're pretty much driven by attention, but we tend to spot those words.
We go straight to the semantics.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And in some sense, intuitively, it seems that it can happen. And this is not the first attempt to do things like this, and it never works, actually, in terms of recognition. For other tasks,
maybe
it can be, it can be helpful.
So you mean you mean to say that like one case you were saying that if you increase the context and all those things, it helps in your ASR improvement, but it doesn't. It's more subjective, I think, this whole.
Well, I mean, it just comes down to the mere fact that word error rate is just take the words. How many of them did you get right?
Yeah.
Take plus or minus 2 or 3 or 5 or 10 words doesn't really make any difference.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, even if those words at the end of the day would be quite important in any sort of search of the transcript.
Exactly.
But at the end of the day, why wouldn't you just use the slides to search the transcript? If you have the slides,
that,
then.
So that's why if we look on the relationship that exists between the speech and the slides, the task of improving the recognition, the overall speech recognition using the slides seems to be not very good.
Yeah.
We cannot expect much from it.
I mean, so I mean, have you been doing other things then? Have you been thinking about what you would like to do in place of this? Or leading on from this, given what you've learned.
Well, for now the most effort was on showing why it will not work, especially those experiments and these statistical tests.
Mm-hmm.
But we were thinking, for example, of a task like trying to see if a speaker is talking. I mean, if the speech is actually correlated with the slides, which happened during the not correlated, but if the
be careful, correlated is a dangerous word.
It's a strict.
Yeah, it seems to be the opposite as before.
Well, if the
associated.
If the speaker is actually talking about what is in the slides or not.
Okay.
Well, roughly. Basically, one thing it can be done, and here, on the contrary, for example, the few words that are, how may I say, recognized more can really make the difference. It is in the case if you want to see if, I mean, what you've seen in the meeting, in that, okay, there are presentation, then, still the slide is there, but actually the people talk about other things.
Sure.
Or not really other things, but the slide is no longer a support
focus.
For the discussion.
Yeah.
Eh?
Okay.
There are moments that actually this is the support because the people describe, etc. And there are moments where it is not. It's just a background thing. And
yeah.
We rough estimated very quickly, but it was 1/3 of the time, at least in the meeting we have seen, the slides were just there. I mean, but they were no longer used as a support. It was a discussion rather
okay.
between people. So in that case, the presence or the absence, and especially the frequency with which you observe the words that are on the slides, can be an excellent clue, indication, a clear indication whether actually that's a support of the discussion.
Meeting action,
not.
Sort of focus.
It can be this, it can be interpreted as a kind of focus of interest, it can be simply interpreted in the sense of saying, okay, I mean, you have this channel open there.
Yeah.
Do we have to take it into account or not?
Mm.
Or also in terms of action, yeah, when you see that the discussion is completely disconnected with respect to this,
yeah.
some way it means that it's happening something different than before.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's a kind of feature that, in my opinion, can be easily detected and that can yeah, can be interesting to do,
yeah.
relatively easy to do. And in that case, for example, the few words that,
yeah, sure.
that you get more can make the difference.
Yeah.
So it's a double way to to show how, some way depending on the task.
So maybe like it can be something like in a meeting, it can be like an unusual scenario for you in a presentation with a slide. And the unusual scenario is that you're not using the slide at all.
Yeah, or for example, what happened, for example, in one of the meetings is that people were summarizing the results of the previous meeting.
Yeah.
You know, so in the beginning. So the meeting started with a summary of what happened the previous time, and
yeah.
this was not related to what was
what
on the slides.
Yeah, okay, so I mean, you could begin with seeing the simple task of just determining whether or not the speech is related to the slide content, which is sort of building upon what, you know, Dong and others have worked on in terms of, you know, is it discussion, monologue from the original M4 data collection. Are you also considering that you could actually look at the relationship between meetings, for instance?
What do you mean exactly?
Well, okay, well, I mean, if these similar sort of phrases or words were discussed in this meeting and were also discussed in the
mm-hmm.
previous meeting, then you sort of have a link between meetings, for instance.
Yeah, so we, well,
I don't know
yeah,
how
yeah,
this,
yeah, yeah.
you have to just check
but
the
this is
statistics.
One, yeah.
I mean, because obviously you've got to think towards what,
yeah.
you know, this won't occupy, won't occupy you for 3 years or whatever just on this, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But have to look at all the future.
Yeah, no, this we are
just
talking about a very short term, if you want.
Yeah.
Things
yeah.
just to use the things. I mean, all the work that he has done, basically, which is a huge
yeah.
work.
It was recycling.
And the data we have, and then you know, for
yeah.
the for a thesis, of course, it must be much better. But of course, there's only two different kinds of works. Some of them you can do it on a single meeting. So this kind of feature extraction, because basically that's what it is, saying, yes, now this channel is good, now is background, now is foreground, etc.
Yeah,
okay. Put it that way, this you do it on a single meeting.
Yeah.
And then there are corpus based works.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that is one possibility, for example, finding the connection between different meetings. Then I don't know, I mean, at that point it becomes pretty much crucial the kind of data you have.
Yeah.
In the sense that for the way we've collected the data, some way I don't know if. It can be at the same time too easy in the sense that some way you have little groups of meetings extremely correlated.
Sure.
So, I mean, it makes it easier. I mean, I don't know how much significant can be at that level.
Yeah. I mean, it's and because we don't have all the data collected or annotated yet, it's very difficult to know, isn't it?
In a sense, if you want, this kind of words become interesting when the corpus is really big.
Yeah.
When you consider each meeting as a single item, so it's interesting when you have tens, hundreds, thousands of meetings, which is not the case. But I mean, you can do other work if you consider in terms of speaker tiles or in terms
yeah,
of slides
sure.
and visibility multiplier.
Or as you say, back channel versus.
Yeah.
Because I think that's quite interesting, I mean, because there's an awful lot of
even
speech
summarization
activity,
or
which is. Yeah.
So it can be one more feature that helps in. But it is very short term. I mean, just it's just few times we talk together, and it was just very quick thing you can have like this.
Okay. So I mean, as far as that, you've got everything you need to do that, I presume. You don't need any extra stuff from us in the immediate.
No.
Future, I mean, that's good.
No.
We have plenty of things to do.
But for the other thing, you know, the. Alternative measures, or maybe we should finish with this first.
What?
I wouldn't get too distracted, I guess. If you've got two tracks, I'd like to.
Yeah, this would be another subject I would like to discuss, but.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, it's no problem.
But basically, just once we finish discussing this first.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so ultimately now, the next step, what is that? First you said that, okay, now you did this correlation studies, and you show that there's a very less correlation, or in fact, no correlation kind of thing. And so what next, and on top of it, what you're going to build, I mean, the question now.
But I think in a sense, in my opinion, are two things. This statistical test, it can be, we have made an experiment, we get a result somewhat counterintuitive, we give an explanation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's it. I mean, that's something that some way closes here. So what it gives you, the kind of answer you get is that, okay, to go in that direction, maybe it's not the best thing, maybe to improve the recognition that way is not something you can expect, so it gives the possibility to decide to go in a different direction that can be more on this.
I mean to the different direction, and that's what I mean to say, what you would like to take from there.
So it's not clearly defined yet.
It's not defined yet, okay.
But something using this relationship between the slides and other textual support and the speech.
But what kind of problem? We need a definition of problem, right?
And the question is also, are there other sort of more sensible ways of doing it? For instance, gaze tracking.
Yeah.
I mean, if people are looking at the slides.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the advantage eventually, with these kind of things is that are much easier. Gaze tracking is still
and it has specific to the environment and all that sort of thing.
The environment is a difficult thing. I mean, it requires cameras with pretty good quality, etc.
No, but
I think his question is more general.
Yeah.
And he says, I mean, based on this work, do you figure out a direction?
That is the thing. What is the next direction? You should not
a direction for your thesis.
It should not happen that you are doing so many things and ultimately it doesn't go into your thesis.
Exactly.
That should not be the problem. Your thesis should be in one direction, one problem. And
one domain, not a collection of little things completely unrelated.
It doesn't make sense. It may be good as a CV for you, but then as a thesis, you will have problems defending it and all those things. So what is that? What would be the next possible direction you want to take?
Well, this is the question I'm working on.
But I mean, for instance, it should be linked to the other stuff that you've been doing on call routing, for instance, error measures. Yes, I mean, I think it's possible to draw some sort of relationship between the two. As we were saying, I mean, maybe if you don't measure things in terms of word error rate, maybe this sort of information does actually mean something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Given that 50% of the words are not actually interesting. So I mean,
Yeah, that could be interesting to try to merge those two things.
But still doesn't solve the
problem.
No,
it doesn't solve the problem, but it's what is it?
Yeah, sure. What you were going to do for your thesis.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as I always said, I mean, basically, if you have to explain in four lines.
Yeah, exactly.
What will be the topic of my thesis, the subject of my thesis?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
It is something that is not just saying I'm going to do this, and that, I mean, because this you actually don't know. But yeah, in a very broad sense, and in what you're going to investigate.
Yeah,
and
See, that is going to tell something like the thing is that see, you can totally go into the text domain and be there, you know. Can be, it's no problem, but as long as it is okay. But if you want to do with like certain something with the speech and all those things together, then it's a different scenario.
Mm.
You may not want to work on all the problems. Someone may work on some other problem, but then you make use of that to extend your work and something. And as I also, it depends, like also I think if boss is interested in working in both speak and text, if I understand very well, that part is also there.
They are interested in that?
No,
or
the
no?
Boss, like, have a, it's like suggesting, like, you should, like, work on both sides, you know, the text and the speech aspect of it, so.
You know, one basic thing I suggested and I was thinking about, I mean, is exactly this. There are all these scenarios that can be meeting, that can be presentation, where you have a relationship between speech, between things that are said, and some textual documents. So why not try to study this relationship,
mm-hmm.
to
yeah.
improve this relationship, to use this relationship for whatever it is, indexing or annotation or whatever, metadata extraction. And if you want, for example, this little work about seeing when the slide channel is background and foreground, it's not
mm-hmm.
an instant and beginning of this kind of thing. So a relationship between two channels that provides some kind of information.
I think it's maybe an interesting test scenario, and we know that you're sort of basing something around speech and text.
Mm-hmm.
I think there needs to be one sort of extra higher goal above
mm-hmm.
that, so
yeah.
that you can
mm-hmm.
yeah,
motivate future
easier.
Research.
Sure.
One thing interesting is what we came up in the discussion also, you were telling that detecting such scenarios
mm-hmm.
where there is no relation between the slide and the person talking, that may be one good starting point for
mm-hmm.
you actually. And then at that point, you detect something like that, and then you show something like what he was saying, that if it is out of discussion, the words are no way are going to help your recognition anyway, ASR. But if it is more on the slide information is not going to help you. But if it is related to the slide, what he's giving a presentation on the slide, then you show your ASR. Means if you detect this event, then you can show that how. Where you can really help or not help, because you say there's no correlation now.
Mm-hmm.
But then here it comes that there, at some point there might be a correlation.
No, be careful. For the recognition
mm-hmm.
in general, there is no correlation in the sense that even if you are talking about what is on the slide, most of the words you use,
mm-hmm.
most of the words you use are not really correlated to that. They're simply
mm-hmm.
words. And consider also that we all speak English here.
Yeah.
And a part of native English speakers, we have a very limited vocabulary in
yeah.
general.
Yeah,
so we tend to use only the same words. But on average, you know, linguistic research shows that on average, the people use 500 words. That's what we have at the position.
Yeah,
and
for English, it's especially low. Yeah.
Yeah, we say everything with that. And probably we, not native English speaker, we use even less. So that gives you an idea of why, basically, in terms of recognition, it doesn't really help, because you always use, anyway, the same words.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the few occurrences of words that are there in terms of recognition make 1-2%.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's not enough to justify an effort to improve the recognition.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can change of task.
Okay.
And use a task, the task we were mentioning about the back channel or foreground channel.
Mm-hmm.
In that case, the only words
mm-hmm.
that really are important are those words that appear on both
sides and the top.
At that point, I mean, a little improvement of that, it becomes a big improvement. I mean, maybe in terms of recognition it's 0.5%.
Yeah.
But in terms of that task it's maybe 20%.
Mm. Okay. Well,
another thing you have to remember is these models have been tuned to include AMI data.
Yeah.
So I mean, perhaps if you had slides and presentations to do with something that was off topic, you didn't have
like
you hadn't seen
way.
Any prior data, then you might see a bigger contribution as well. But I mean, essentially, you've actually sort of included the information from the slides in the language model.
That's another interesting point. I mean, they're using data that are fake. In any case, they are simulation, no real data.
Yeah.
And especially the slides, I think I've seen the slides. I mean, they are pretty much artificial.
Okay, they're pre-prepared.
Exactly.
Yeah,
okay.
But most of the time you have the title to do, no? The AMI that the AMI data was that like that only.
Yeah,
most of the time you know the header, what are the three slides you are going to present. Everyone is presenting the same set of slides.
I mean, everything is pretty much artificial, that's what I mean. So you mentioned, for example, this fact that sometimes speakers tend to read. Especially true when you have bullet list, huh? Sometimes people really go through. It didn't happen in the data, simply because it was not the same
it's
people
not there.
Prepare exactly.
Okay.
So, for example, it will be possible in a case because everything the infrastructure is ready. Now we are going to collect the TAM presentation. There, maybe we can see.
What about MLMI, the one we collected last year?
The audio quality.
Audio is very bad,
so
right?
Bad.
Yeah.
I think it's
they didn't really have one single channel or at least a closed channel collection. No.
You know, that was collected a little bit like this without too much care. It was
okay,
a personal effort of mine that decided to do it. It was very good.
It was good.
But basically, it was made without any specific, you know, without thinking we want to recognize, just to have them. So, especially the audio channel is absolutely.
Yeah.
So, they're still using that desktop microphone or whatever.
Yeah, they had like, they had to set up with the microphones. So, there was one microphone shared between every two people, but they had deals with people forgetting to turn the microphone on, forgetting to turn it off. It was meant, I think they chose that lecture theatre possibly with the idea that it would be good for collecting data. I mean, I'm sure they could have probably had University of Edinburgh hosted or whatever, but I think the, you know, the HCI part of it didn't quite work out to how they planned.
Okay.
So,
that is one of the reasons, for example, why which a mark would point pretty much on slides as a mean of indexing, because at that point there is no interaction between humans and capture.
Yeah.
Because whenever you have microphones that you have to move,
it's I mean, the same as us putting on the headphones and whatever. I mean, even that minor thing, I mean, any audio captured during that period is rubbish, but there's no sort of system that's really built to be able to say when you're...
Okay,
you're
so now that we sometime over this, we should be getting a time recording system, right?
We are building this slowly. I mean, it's unfortunate. I mean, it's taking time for the material and so on. But yeah, that will be the thing.
Okay.
What will that incorporate? Will it incorporate like an SMA and a...
It will be one camera pointing very general, but just for display purposes, essentially.
Yeah.
One microphone, and we are thinking to use a lapel microphone, you know, this ready thing. And so that potentially helpful, hopefully helpful to the recognition and the slides.
Okay.
Through the projector.
Okay. So no microphone arrays or anything like that.
Ooh.
I guess that's quite a big deal for setting up the recording.
Let's say that in any case,
it's quite a bit problem to do that.
What
are
two reasons? First of all, we are trying to do something that can be easily. The idea is really it's something that you take, you bring somewhere else, and it works. It must be as easy as possible.
Yeah.
But in any case, I mean, the device we are doing has input channels. So some way you can add as many input as you want.
Yeah.
So we are dealing now with three, but there are other input lines open.
Okay.
Yeah, but probably the thing is somewhere over project, I suppose there's the the whiteboard or whatever the presentation is over there, the speaker is more probably going to this way or that way. So probably you may not need a very big microphone either, probably one or two.
Yeah, but let's pretend it's not going to happen in any foreseeable future.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just thinking from practical perspectives, you'd have to, the AIMEE recognition system that we have now is either for these microphones or for the microphone array. There's no lapel system trained, for instance. So, I mean, that in itself, it would, I mean, you'd have some fun training some more speech recognition models.
But well, at that point, we can use this. I mean, I was mentioning the lapel microphone just like this, but if you tell me this, that's very interesting, because at this point, we can use this kind of thing. Why not? So there will be other data, other test data, and especially for this kind of problem, I think it can be a much more useful kind of thing, because there is real presentations. I mean, it's reality. You know,
It's what you should be using for this type of task.
Exactly, it's more realistic, and probably it can help.
I think
go in this direction of saying, well, let's see what happened between speech and slides.
Yeah, and every time we generate a new corpus and try to carry out new research, we discover sort of areas that are too controlled.
Yeah.
I mean, the AIMEE ones are a lot better in terms of that than M4 or whatever, but still, I mean, especially when you get into higher level sort of interpretation, it's... I'm just curious, did they, like the ICSI meetings, do they have anything other than the audio? Do they have slides or anything along that? I don't think they would.
No.
Okay, I'm just thinking whether or not there are any other sources. I mean, maybe chill data?
Chill may be interesting for you, but it's... it may be interesting for your problem, I think.
Yeah.
Because it's... Yeah. I think it's going to be more like the TAM type situation, so...
Yeah, it's more like TAM, but their collection is much... like they have an audience and all those same people sitting,
okay,
and it's a lecture meeting collection. Are they going to release it through LDA or something?
I don't know, but I mean, given that it's coming from the same basis as AIMEE, I expect there has to be some sort of relatively liberal sort of distribution policy.
It's a European project.
So probably it may be interesting actually.
The one thing about that, and this was something that came up in the last NIST evals, was the fact that it's almost too unimodal. You've just got one lecturer talking. So once again, you don't see the complex sort of levels of interaction.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way of getting around it. I mean, you just have to think of a task, a challenge that is relevant to that type of recording, which might you might use the same methods as what we've been talking about today, but the actual sort of what you're trying to measure might need to be slightly different, I guess. In terms of say measuring whether or not they're talking about the slides or off channel, I mean, you might find 98% of your data is directly referring to your slides in a TAM.
I know we were measuring 1/3. It's not.
That is in TAMs.
At least in, no, I'm talking now about the.
I'm meaning if you move onto the
presentation, of course, the presentation.
So you might want to be doing something else, basically.
Of course.
Yeah.
No, that is just something that, in my opinion, with the work has been already done, is something we can get pretty quickly.
Yeah.
It's an interesting task. It's more specific on meetings.
Yeah.
Certainly not for presentation.
Yeah.
It represents a nice task that can be measured, that is clear, and
at the end of the day, you're probably going to be using or learning about the same techniques that you'll need for doing other things along these lines. So.
In terms of action recognition, can of course help. So it's
okay.
But of course, it's not going to be a kind of thesis about this. No, it doesn't make any sense.
It's to make a proposal, basically, for your,
That's, in a sense, if you want, I mean, that's at least the way I see it, at least I've made for my own thesis. I mean, you define the domain, I mean, which is large, I mean, which can be very general, so interaction between speech and slides, cool. And then you see how all these things, these two little words, so the statistical independence and detecting when it is, are two little words that some way fits in that very general framework.
Okay.
sure, from this point of view, it depends. There are other things, for example, one that I really would like to do, which is kind of fun. So when you have a bullet list, can I click on one of the bullet and get the piece of speech where the guy was talking about that? Sometimes people just read.
Sure.
Sometimes
it's a lot more.
Improve is more. So, for example, that's another thing that fits in that kind of framework.
Yeah.
And that's interesting in terms of, first of all, again, it's measurable.
Yeah.
In terms of browsing, in terms of retrieval, in terms of indexing, annotation, metadata extraction.
Yeah. That could be applied. Do automatical speaker rating if there are good speakers or bad speakers, depending if they just.
Well, that would be. You know that that's something. You're maybe joking now. That's something that can be done, for example.
At least spot if they forget to talk about something, and it won't let them continue on to the next slide until they've gone through all the points.
And somewhere there are parameters that can be measured that tell you. That following certain criteria. There is one very easy, for example, there are speakers that never look at the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Those are bad speakers in general. It's very wrong. You have to look at the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is one. There is, for example, and this is something that eventually can be done, if you have a certain number of words on your slides, you need a certain amount of time to read them.
Mm.
The speakers that take a time which is too close to that, they are not good speakers because some way
they're talking fast.
Yes.
They're talking too fast. They are not.
Well, that was just through sheer weight of content.
They are not giving you the time, and there is a certain number of things that can be some way detected and measured that tell you whether the speaker is actually respecting some form of. It's a bit, difficult, and I will not go that much in that direction. I mean, it's,
possible someday.
You know.
So what about the figure things? What happens if there's a figures coming on the slide? So what do you want to do with that?
Figure
as on in the five, six. Where the graphemic.
Visual thing. Well, that's, for example, we submitted a project with Jean-Marc.
Okay.
To use that thing as metadata.
Okay.
And basically, one thing, for example, we're trying to do, and again, this is something that can fit, and it will be not after maybe, but if you get the project, etc. In any case, it's something that Jean-Marc and me we want to do, based on the kind of graphic object you have, so tables, equations, figures, plots, etc. Decide when, for example, it is a result.
Okay.
Try to get. So that's again in terms of structuring, browsing, structuring, retrieval. Okay, when it is a result.
Okay.
When it is an introduction.
Okay.
Yeah.
When it is.
Although I remember discussing this, like, when Nabil was working on his stuff, which was just based on the slides. He asked me, could I pre-segment the slides for him? Because you wanted to have the topic segmentation. And I said, well, just look at the headings. Because anybody generally who writes the slides.
Introduction reserves.
Yeah.
It's not really true.
It's not, okay, it's true for me then. Okay.
It's not really true. Yeah, it's one of the most funny things. I mean, you can see when you work in this thing, each one of us has an idea, and then it's not true at all. I mean, some people actually are stick very carefully. If they put in the outline, let's say, title 1, title 2, then you find title 1, title 2.
Yeah.
But many other people, and I'm one of those people, for example, are much more general. So my outline is something like introduction.
Yeah.
And experiments and results, conclusions. You don't find the same title in the slides.
Okay. It depends.
It's really a different style.
It's a stylistic thing.
There are people that don't put, for example, outline. We were, for example, in the corpus of MLME, so the one used in the demo, 50% of the presentation have no outline.
Mm-hmm.
In the corpus of the TAM, 2004 TAM presentation, 25% of the presentation have no outline at all.
Yeah. Which, whether or not that's a good or a bad thing,
that's
it depends on the tone.
Yeah, it is, and basically that's and again, the outline is typical maybe in scientific presentation.
Yeah.
And in that case, the majority has. Other kind of presentation, probably no.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an habit we have, but...
something we're taught at university from a very young age.
Unfortunately, there is nothing true.
Yeah, sure, it's all subjective.
Nothing true is everything is changed pretty much. Yeah. So that was on.
Okay,
so what are you going to do between the data when you collect and this? What do you want to do now? By the time we get the data, it's going to take another 2 months, if I'm right, the whole capturing system, and it's going to come. So what is the next step?
Well, trying to really determine the subject, something for my proposal, I mean.
Yeah, you have to submit it in like 2 months also again.
around February or March.
Yeah, I have to submit.
Really,
it's 1 year, right?
It's quite strictly imposed now.
So, to find something for that. Also, with the thinking, maybe turning this work into publication, the one about the...
Not maybe, for sure.
For sure.
You think you're doing it bad.
And also, well, that depends a little on you, but try to finish with the measures and the converting. Because I was talking with that about that to Hervé, since I was I will recycle this poster for IN2, you know, about
yeah.
this, and that could be cool to finish it. Maybe fuse it with Ian's work and do a journal paper he was suggesting.
After the hard drive crash,
yeah.
we took the time to actually rebuild the system and actually train, because originally we sort of had the idea of we'll use. Recognize that it's been trained on a large amount of telephone speech data, and that should give us a better result. I just as a contrast, I trained one specifically on this data. Results are almost identical, which says to me there's something wrong with the data, rather than, and it's nothing serious. It's simply that it hasn't been chunked or segmented in a way that's typical of speech resources. In terms of, you can have like a 2 second utterance, credit cards, and then 20 seconds of silence coming after.
Yeah,
I see.
Which when you first think about it, you just think, oh, silence, whatever, nothing will happen. But a lot of the normalization techniques that we use, CMS, CVM. So we need a decent endpoint detection system running before we can do that.
Yeah.
And
even
we're converging on having one now, just in sort of tandem with this development of this web-based recognizer. But of course, unfortunately, all these things take time. I think we should see decent sort of improvement, and not just in terms of no longer having recognition errors whenever silence appears, because you get that immediate benefit that you don't have any insertion errors, but also. It should actually affect the recognition on the speech segments as well.
So essentially, you say, well, as there is this silence time, which tend to be even more than
it's not.
So better to have a kind of silence detection, so something that really takes this and then recognize only that that part.
Yeah.
This will improve the phoneme recognition rate.
Given the trouble we've had with this corpus, I can't make any promises.
And at that point, even the call router that Jean-Yves made can improve its performance.
That's the intention.
Yeah, exactly. That's the intention.
And it can be used after for the measure work.
So what you are saying is that you notice that when you tried other features and
we trained a system just on this data. Like there were 6,000 utterances that weren't used for the call routing side of things. I think there were 13,000 in the entire corpus. Half of them roughly were thrown away. So we used that for acoustic training, And the results from that were almost the same as what we got for the CDS model.
And initially it was a nuance, a trained on nuance.
But one can imagine a commercial system that Stephen Cox used from Nuance probably had all these things, built-in endpoint detection, et cetera, et cetera. So...
they should have had that, actually. So maybe like we had to do this endpoint detection and probably a little bit of inner filtering. And then I think you should be pretty much converging to the system.
Yeah.
But the reason with this is that like whatever systems we train on databases are they are chopped neatly. That there's not too much silence beginning, not too much they're chopped so neatly for the it's like custom made database. But here it's not like that. You know, like
I see.
There's also just things like receiver noise beginning and or at the end of And I mean, these are things you can get rid of.
There are several things. Like one thing is like we can do this begin and end detection, as we said, or even we can try to use France Telecom's approach actually, and that they have this front end which can do a spectral subtraction, and plus it can give you a voice activity detection.
Okay, this is
platform basis.
Okay.
It can give.
Okay.
So
we can just run some generic.
We can just run it quickly and see. And probably you will have to run it. We'll give you the idea. Is it okay, like?
Well, I don't mind running it. I've got all the scripts set up. So.
Not running. I mean to say, probably he should run it, or like we can help him to run it actually, because at some point he has to get into.
Well, I'm not sure I see the point actually.
I mean to say that it's okay. We have all the scripts. But probably. He should run it, I mean to say.
I don't know. Yeah. Whatever, I don't know.
All these experiments.
I don't know whether that's...
The call routing itself or the recognition, the phonemic
because
recognition?
Because probably maybe we shall do... to make it faster, we should run it. It's very fast.
We might as well, because, I mean, we've up until now... you haven't been running any recognition, and neither did Jean-Yves on that data.
Yeah, I have all Jean-Yves scripts and programs for performing the call routing. I think starting from the phoneme sequences.
Yeah. No, but I mean to say that if you give him the script and ask him to run.
Oh sure, but I mean the scripts are so automated. It's just a matter of submitting a job to the classroom.
I don't
see the point of that. I don't mind running it. It'd be like half an hour's work in a day to run the recognition scripts. I mean, I know what you're saying. Artem should familiarize himself with the ASR systems or whatever. Fine, but I don't think this is a point that's worth sort of worrying about at this stage. Anyway, I mean.
Yeah, if you're just running.
Well, because I'm sort of assuming that we're going to have an endpoint detection system regardless of this working on this nuanced corpus. No. So
the endpoint system is a different thing, no? That's we need it for AMI.
We need it for AMI. We need it for the online demo for all these things.
But this is basically detecting speech and non-speech.
It's a lot more difficult than you would think.
No, it's not speech.
It's this problem I hear every time on the speech meeting. How do we detect speech and...
Well, it's speech and any other class of sound. That's the problem.
Or
anything nonsense other than speech.
It's not just speech and silence. It's speech and...
And any other class.
It's not silence. If it was just silence,
it'd be easy. But and in controlled cases, you can just assume it's any energy below a certain threshold. And this is what everybody sort of claimed the problem was solved with years ago. But
who really can do... when somebody will really be able to do that, I mean, detect.
Well, I mean, this is once again.
Speech from non-speech, it will be a little revolution, no?
But I mean, this is once again a very constrained task again. I mean, it's you're almost assured it's only going to be a single speaker on the microphone. So, I mean, the only sorts of noise you're going to have to deal with is hiss or impulsive, I would say. Or that would be a good start.
Yeah. Anyway, so we'll finish this call routing stuff. What do you say? Okay, this is okay with you, right? Because I think it has not been even submitted outside also that what journey did they
No, basically
they have not done that yet.
Because it was not at at a level that could be anyway submitted at the ideal school. I think with a better phoneme recognition rate definitely it could improve also the
It was showing that. You haven't heard from him, I take it, either?
No.
No, okay.
we can find it.
Well, it'd be nice to get the thesis, I think, as a sort of just a research report sort of basis for this.
But we can some way find a guy. I mean, it should be at Multitel, so it should be relatively easy to... Because this is the last news I had, and then we can try to... Back
and plus some pressure.
So it's pretty much good time also, no? And you can and when do you intend to start writing the proposal? Probably should start, I think.
This is basically my three main jobs: proposal.
You should not wait till the end. That's what I mean.
Be looking towards the start of next year, basically.
Because should make it clearer before on what I will write, and even a first submission using this work will make things clearer for me, writing them down, and
but now going very pragmatic, there is a submission deadline, for example, 31 December for conference on multimedia and Expo, where I think this tool will work on. Yeah, it can go there.
And it's nice to get some feedback on. I mean, that feedback will probably come after your proposal, possibly.
I think it's good if you submit it for a proposal as a research report, you put it here, submit it for the conference. It's quite good for the proposal itself.
Exactly.
It is a proposal. Because as far as I understand, this work on the phoneme anyway still takes some development time in the sense
No,
that
I think we may have to, like, it's kind of a... It's kind of like maybe take like 2 or 3 days, you know, like to sit it out and say one converse to one approach and then just do it.
Yeah, without any bugs or whatever.
So that is the thing. We had to sort out the bug kind of thing and see how reliable is this endpoint detection for us.
I'd prefer to go back to the CTS models, I think, as well.
I think then we can go back to CTS.
I think they did work a little bit better.
Anyway, the news that there are results. You have just to decide, what you want to work first and finalize. I think you can really
I think first this submit it, and this will help for a proposal. And since we cannot start immediately with the measures, I think that's the best thing to do.
Okay. And so that is this. So you wanted to talk something more than that. Well, we obstructed you with that. You wanted to talk something different also.
Well, no.
No.
Or for me.
Or maybe another meeting.
There's another one, isn't
there? No, I say another
one. So you're looking at your watch before, and I'm like, wow.
I'm just looking at this. Okay, we are not out of time, you know.
There's Amy Corpus linked in no time.
Yeah, and I think that will be exactly 1 hour, and
the
tape is 60 minutes.
It happened with my friend, like, he was taking pictures, and it was going 37, 38, 40 even, and the reel never got over. So I said, there's some problem with yours, the way you have put the roll inside, there is some problem, it has got stuck somewhere, it can never go to 41, 42.
Not normally, you can go to
37, 38, it's fine. You know, 40, 41, that's it. He has already
told
us.
We've been told. Okay.
Okay.
Fine.
So we are taking pictures and pictures. And I'm sure you're going to get maybe 5 pictures out of this. If you get 5, you feel lucky.
So next week...
me and John, we have to fix it up.
I will try to start
writing
this. Let's get him done.
No,
so what's the thing?
Manu?
I think that's fine. I think the point of the party is just to provide information for people to be interested in and start discussion.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
Well, that, that